made broader by the fine clothes that increased the size of the man before him. The visitor was unable to make out the face of his host, shadowed as it was by the flames behind it.
"Please come and sit."
The shape gestured to the chair that stood facing the guest.
"Thank you, sir."
Moving as he spoke, somewhat nervously, Hans Holbein sat in the large armchair before the welcoming fire.
"Good, good,"
Sir Thomas commented, retaking his own seat. Only now could Hans make out the facial features of his host as he turned and met his gaze. The face was broad, yet the features were soft, and the stare held a forced sternness that hid deep compassion, Hans thought for a short moment, as an uneasy silence threatened to settle between the two men.
"Is the fire not a beautiful mystery, Master Holbein?" Sir Thomas offered, apparently deep in thought, though actually he sought in his mind for a suitable beginning to the tale he wished to tell his visitor.
"Indeed it is," Hans consented, "and its warmth is most welcome this cold morn."
Holbein was unsure as to the direction his host intended this conversation to take, but was convivial, particularly in light of the commission he was hoping to secure.
"Each morning a carefully constructed fire is laid upon this hearth. Each length of wood is perfectly laid to allow the movement of air around the fire and to support the structure that will be built upon it. The foundations are set, and, layer by layer, it takes shape until deemed complete. Shortly after, another will come to this fireplace and set alight the work of the first. Then the flame consumes all."
There was a long pause, but Thomas More did not remove his gaze from the grate.
"The outer layer of the fuel is removed almost immediately, seared away by the sudden raging heat. It is over time, by persistence, though, that the wood is utterly destroyed to feed the hunger of the fire, which only wanes when all of the goodness, all of the life, is burned from that which fed it. At the end, only a pile of ashes remain, lifeless and without any further use. Then they are swept away and disposed of."
Sir Thomas sighed deeply, almost as if in sympathy for the remnants of his study fire. He looked up at last from the spot that had held him mesmerized and was confronted by the unconcealed confusion on the face of his guest.
"My point, sir, is this," Sir Thomas continued, his tone suddenly becoming more stern, perhaps as a defensive reaction to the accusing gaze that fixed him. "How did the foundation of this fire begin? How were the first logs laid? How was the construction of each layer affected by that foundation and the layer it was placed upon? What made it finished? Is the fire devouring dead, dried kindling wood or my finest furniture?"
There was a moment of silence as Hans struggled to decide whether the question was a rhetorical one or whether his host awaited a reply. Searching the face of Sir Thomas for an indication, Holbein was eventually forced to shrug his shoulders.
"Exactly," Sir Thomas exclaimed, obviously pleased that his point was progressing. "You and I shall never know. Shortly after the fire has been lit, perhaps we could have seen hints of what lay within. But the longer the flames eat, the less we may discern. From the black pile of ashes, who may ever ascertain their previous form? The proud structure so carefully constructed is lost. It no longer matters. It can be discarded. I could tell you it was once anything I fancied."
Sir Thomas appeared once again captured by the dancing flames, and Hans Holbein sat in the uncomfortable silence until he shifted noisily in his chair and broke the spell of the fire.
"I apologize, Master Holbein. All this must seem to you as the vain wanderings of a man who has procured your presence. It is perhaps a precursor to our business, but I have been rude in my ramblings. Would you care for any food or drink?"
"No, thank you, sir."
Hans was now utterly bewildered.
"I must confess to great intrigue at the need for such a secret visit at this early hour, sir. I was led to believe that this would be a commission for a family portrait."
"And so it is, Master Holbein, so it is."
Sir Thomas stood and strode to the large desk at the end of the room behind Hans.
"I must apologize," he continued, as